So this morning, I was talking to our esteemed Gabbai, Avi Mailer.
Uh-oh.
And he said to me, so what's the topic tonight? So most people ask what the food is. Strangely, he asked me what the topic was. So I said to him, you know, I was thinking about this, maybe that.
He didn't say topic, he said topping.
Oh.
There you go.
Now it's all clear. So he said, you know, tonight's the first time that, you know, I'll be able to make it. So I'd like to put in a request. And he requested that we talk about the topic of Goral. You'll note.
That's Goral.
Uh-huh. Yes. We'll be here soon. Please save the pizza and cocoa.
Okay. It seems that Alex was right. It was topping. So that is the topic as requested. So we are going to talk about Goralot. What are Goralot, you might wonder? I can see you have that wondering look about you. Mm-hmm. So Goralot means lotteries. Picking lots. So in this week's Parsha, among the many exciting things that happen, what happens is we talk about the division of the land of Israel. So there are 12 tribes, and they each need to get themselves a piece of land. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide the land of Israel into, well,
12.
Short of like 12, because, well, 9.5 kind of, because remember...
The Levites.
No, not the Levites, but some people stayed on in the Transjordan.
So we really own the Transjordan.
Yes.
We could take it over anytime.
Yes, good.
So, good idea.
I never thought of that. Thank you.
So the
question is, who's going to get which piece? So what they did actually is they had some sort of lottery. So when explaining it, if you look at number one on your sheet, it says La Rav Taber Nachlaso V'Lamad Tam Eat Nachlaso Ish Lefi Pukudav Yitei Nachlaso. That again, people that have large populations will get larger pieces of land, and those who have smaller populations will have smaller plots of land, and that will work out. However, the next part says Ach Big Gorol Yechalek Es Haaretz Lishmos Matos Avasam Yinchalov. However, you're going to have to do this by lottery. So what does that mean? So Rashi comments, L'Rav Taber Nachlaso, he said, L'Shevet Shoyim Merubah Be'Ulchusin Nathal Chayav Rav. If there was a tribe that had a lot of cattle, had a lot of property, had a lot of items, right? So they would get a large piece. V'Afa Pishol Hayu HaChalakim Shavim Shreya Kol Lefi Ribuy HaShevet Chalko HaChalakim. He said to everybody, it was divided in a way that the people who needed more space got more space. However, this division was also only done via lottery. How did that work? Very interesting. It quotes a Gemara from Baba Basra. And this Goral was done by Ruach HaKodesh, was done by the Holy Spirit. Commotion before the Baba Vasser. How did it work? Elazar HaKohen Hayim Rubash Be'urim Batumim. Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, he was wearing the whole 8 vestments. V'omer Baruch HaKodesh Im Shevet Pchoni Ola Tchum Pchoni Ola Imo. So he would say, for Shevet X, they're going to get plot of land Y. And at the same time, there were two pots in front of him. One of them had the tribes in it, and the other one had the pieces of land were indicated in it. So what would he do after he said that? They each written on each word had 12 lots that they were written on. They mixed them up. So the president, the governor, whatever you're going to call him, the head of each shevet, would stick his hand into each pot and pull out a name of a shevet and a description of a piece of land. Not only that, so what would happen? Oleh b'yado pesach al shem shifto. He would always pick out the one that he was supposed to, the name of his shevet. U'pesach shavuah meforash lo. And together with the piece of land that's supposed to go with him. V'ha'goral atzmo ha'yatzoveach. But not only that, but these lots actually spoke. These lot itself would yell out. Gemara says, quoted in Rashi, Omer ani ha'goral alisir gvul proni l'shevet proni. I, the lot, are representative of the following tribe and then the following piece of land. So So how did it work? Well, that's not fair because I get more land because I have more people. So the answer is no. There is prime real estate and there's subprime real estate. And therefore, the people who needed a lot of land, well, they got a lot of land, but they didn't get the prime real estate. And the people who only got a small piece of land, they would get a larger piece of real estate. So everybody got into
more valuable.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so at the end of the day, everybody got the same value, but it was what was more appropriate for what
that
everybody
tribe.
Needed.
I only got 2 square blocks, but in Manhattan.
Right. Right. That, I think
was there ever like a mix-up?
Nope. Everybody got what they were supposed to do. So this was the idea of lots. That the focus here is that when God wanted to indicate something, he did it via lottery. Now, this was not the first lottery we've had in the Torah. We had one a few weeks ago in the Parsha. Anyone remember?
You don't mean Queen Esther.
So, no, that was a lot of weeks ago. But that wasn't the matter of it. That wasn't the matter of, you know, actually, yes. I'll give you a yes for that. Fine, we'll just hold it at that. But what I was referring to more recently was the story of Eldad Umedad. If you remember that at some point in the Moshe Rabbeinu said, I've just had enough of these people. And with that, God said, we're going to get you 70 helpers. So there were going to be 70 Zakenim who were going to also become Nevi'im and help him out. Now, there are how many tribes?
12.
So again, how much is 70 divided by 12? 5 and 5/6 is correct. 5.83 repeating. So the problem is, it was very hard to take 5 and 5/6 from each shevet. Right? What would you do with the extra feet? So because of that, what they had to do is Moshe Rabbeinu was told, what we're going to do is we're going to have 72 lots, and 70 of them are going to say Zakein, and the other two are going to be blank, which will be, thank you for appearing on our show. For appearing on the show tonight, you get a year's supply of turtle wax, but you're not going to be a Navi. I think that's what Rashi says. So that was the idea. So we've had this idea beforehand. Now, interesting, going forward, we'll see that there is nothing that's very interesting that this topic was suggested, because basically every single shiur we're doing during the week is hit by this topic.
Which
one? So, we spoke about...
By the topic of lotteries?
Of lotteries, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? So the first one we have is the Thursday night shiur. Next, let's go to Tuesday nights. Wednesday nights. Tuesday nights we'll do next. Yehoshua. On Tuesday nights we do Yehoshua. Among the prakim we're going to hit today, this is the story of Achan. Who was Achan? Achan was a fellow who... No one remembers?
He took the booty.
So eventually he got the boot. But the idea being that during the Battle of Jericho, no one was supposed to take anything. This guy Achan does take something.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, in the next battle, we lose.
That's right.
Right? So what happens? So it ends up, we have to find who did it. We have to undo what was done. And therefore, we'll be able to go on and be victorious again. So the story of Achan is told over in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So what happens? So Yehoshua prays to Hashem and says, why are we losing? He said, because somebody sinned. So Yehoshua says, and who sinned already? So which God says, I don't speak Lashon Hara. Go figure it out yourself who sinned. I'm not going to tell you. So that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says, Ein Lashon Bakash, B'shash Abba Akash Baruch Hu Yehoshua, Chote Yisrael. So what happened? Someone sinned. Amar Lefanav. So Yehoshua turns to God, says, Ribono Shalom, Mi Chote. So who did it? Amar Lei, Ki Dil Torani. You think I'm a snitch? I'm not going to tell you who did it. Lech hapel goralos. Do lots. Go through the lots and you'll figure out who did it. But nafel hagoral al achan. So in fact, it goes on. And the Pesukim said first they did all the shvatim. All right? And the shevet of Yehuda came up. And then they did the families until they hit achan. So with that, Yeshua goes to Achan and says, you know, we're going to have to put you to death here. Salary's at 10%. Because at the end of the day here, it seems that you did it. So Achan said, you're going to convict me based on lottery? So, are you kidding me? I'm below Yeshua. You're going to convict based on this? I tell you what. I'll say, oh, let's see. Who did it? Did Yeshua do it or did the Kohen Gadol do it? Let's pick lots. It's going to land on one of you. So how are you going to convict me based on lots?
But isn't lots also supposed to be Ruach HaKodesh?
Oh, so that's the idea. He's saying, Yeshua, don't tell me it's Ruach HaKodesh. It's an inevitability. It has to fall on somebody.
Right.
So what does Yeshua respond? Amaro b'vakashom mimcha, al totzi lazar garolos. He said, don't speak against the lottery system. She asida eretz Yisrael shetachai b'garol, shnema ach b'garol yechalekas aretz. Said this, don't deny it, because if you're going to deny it, the whole country's going to have problems. How are you dividing the land? What do you mean? I got the lottery, came out here. That's not how we divided. I deserve that piece of land. So when we get to this in Yeshua, we'll see again the importance of Goral. Next, we did right. Wednesday night, Yonah. Pasuk we're up to. Right? Eventually they're going to decide whose fault is it that we're having a terrible storm? Yonah. So you see there is this idea of Goralos, that somehow or another you can do some sort of lottery, and that somehow has Ruach HaKodesh in it, and that somehow tells us information.
And somehow excludes you from saying Lashon Hara.
Right.
It's more for determine which lot gets picked, but he didn't name, so he didn't say it's Achav, but that's Lashon Hara. They picked the Goral to fall on Achav.
Achan.
Achan.
Achan. Achav was a bad guy. This wasn't there.
So do we
right.
Could have fallen on either one of them.
I'm just saying.
Just a few hundred years later.
Yeah.
So why is it not Lashon Hara is what I'm asking.
So you have a question on God.
Well, question the way we're
right. So again, that's when we get to Yeshua, we'll have to get a better understanding of it. But again, the focus here is not the Lashon Hara as much as it is the fact that we are relying on the Goral.
Yeah. Didn't they search his stuff?
What?
I thought they searched up on stuff
afterwards. Afterwards, he told them where it was, and they found it.
And then right, and that, returned it to Jericho. Who was in Jericho?
They burned it. Nobody at that point.
Nobody really? Even the Canaanites or the Philistines?
They hadn't yet opened up that casino there.
Oh, how sad.
It is sad. The Palestinian Authority is having their children trouble getting their act together.
I see, okay.
Now, this idea of the Goral, so it's a nice historical point. The question is, does this have any relevance to nowadays? Do we have a right to somehow or another pick lots, and by picking lots, make a determination as to somehow determine whether something is this, convict, what have you not?
If the lottery ticket spoke to us, we would.
So there is something that I'm sure many people have heard of called the Goral Hagra, the Gruz lottery. So the Goral Hagra is some ceremony, which I'll have to discuss what it has to do with the Gra, by which you take a certain chumash, and somehow or another you open to a page, and that page gives you the answer. Probably the most famous case of the Goral Hagra is written over in English in number 6. This is a famous case. Again, this is a short version. I wasn't going to. If anyone's interested in our library, among the many wonderful books we have, there is a book about Rav Arya Levine known as
Tzaddik
in Our Time. And in it, there is the longer version of this, right? But I wasn't going to type it up, so I found online a shorter version, which explains as follows. If people are familiar with Gush Etzion, at this point, is a burgeoning Jewish community with yeshivot and seminaries for women. But, unfortunately, during the Milchemes HaShechror, things were very, very bad there. And, in fact, it was overrun, and 35 people were killed, and we weren't able to reach there for a very long time afterwards. And by the time they got the bodies, of the 35, only 23 could be identified. So the question is what to do about burying the other 12. So this is the story. It's written over in many different places. The convoy of the Lamed Hei being 35, not Lashon Hara, was a platoon of 35 fighters who attempted to resupply the blockaded Etzion block during the Israeli War of Independence. In the course of a difficult battle, the fighters were killed and their bodies were subsequently brought to a temporary burial to Kibbutz Kfar Etzion. However, by the end of the war, the settlements of the Etzion block had fallen, so they were transferred to Jerusalem for formal burial. 12 of the dead could not be identified, a fact that would have complicated digging graves and setting up tombstones for them. Chief Rabbi of Jerusalem, Tzvi Pesach Frank, recommended contacting Rav Arya Levin so he could perform the Kabbalistic ceremony.
Why do they say Kabbalistic?
Because it was Kabbalistic. What was the package? They were going to go and use this Goral Hagra to identify which remain belonged to which body. Those present at the event described how opening to a random biblical verse yielded results that matched the names of the fighters. Rabbi Levin documented the outcomes of the lottery in his own hand. So, for example, the body of Binyamin Bugoslavsky was identified by the verse, and out of the tribe of Binyamin by lot. That of Oded Benyamin, via I am not a Benjamite, Benyamini. And that of Eitan Gaon, but the pride Gaon of Yisrael shall testify to his face. So he was able to do this 12 times in a row, and each one pointed to a verse which clearly pointed to one of the bodies. So we would go to one of the remains, he would do this form of lots.
So he'd open a
right, there's a very right. There's a very specific type of chumash they used. It's a 1701 Amsterdam version of the chumash with two columns. For some reason, that's the specific one. If you want to do a search online, sometimes on eBay, someone's selling a Goral Hagra chumash. That's what they're known as. And by doing that, and this is well documented, again, this isn't that many years ago, right? We're talking less than 70 years ago. He was able to identify all of the bodies using this form of Goral Hagra. Again, the idea being that the Goralos, the lots, have a certain amount of holiness in them, and the one who is in the know is able to do this. To add to our the tie-ins to this year, it's very interesting, as we plan our shul trip to the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls came to us from which group? The Essenes, we assume. We assume the Essenes. That is the popular assumption. Who were these Essenes? Again, if we ever actually go, we'll have an opportunity to discuss it. But Flavius Joseph describes the Essenes as follows. There are also among them those who profess to foretell what is to come, being thoroughly trained in holy books, various purifications, concising the prophets, rarely if ever do they fail in their predictions. These Essenes, it would seem, that using a chumash were able to predict the future, etc. It seems that this was an earlier form of what we now call the Goral Hagra. So there are many, many stories out there.
How does the Rambam view this in view of what we learned last Shabbos?
So I don't think it's what we learned last Shabbos. I think we learned it during the week.
Right?
I think this is halachas here, another tie-in, which we will discuss. You will note that Shulchan Aruch is on the list, as is the Rambam and the Tshuvas Rambam on the topic. So that is, in fact, what I would like to talk about today. The idea being that this really seems like hocus-pocus, heebie-jeebies,
far out
there, etc. The question is, is this something that is acceptable? Is it something that you can go either way? Is it something that is idolatry? Where does this one?
How does it work? What do you actually do?
That's a good question, and there's a lot written about it. I could point you in the direction of exactly. If you actually look, believe it or not,
what?
What?
Open the Flemish.
What?
What do you do?
You open it again. You put your these fingers here and those fingers there. There's where you have to put it, and then you open it either seven times or one time. Different ideas behind it, and with this somehow, if you know how to do it, supposedly it works. Now again, there's no shortage of stories about this, and we just had one not that long ago. There was a lot in the popular press, if you remember, when the three boys went missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So at the time, if you remember, there was a story out there that a rabbi had done the Goral Hagra, and with that had said that they're to be found now in Hebron, and they're being held in a basement, and, you know, made certain predictions based on that. There's an interesting backstory to that story, which has come out. They first went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, we don't do this stuff. He says, in order to do this, you need to have Ruach HaKodesh. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, try Rav Aryeh Leib Steinman. Maybe he can help you. So they went to Rav Aryeh Leib Steinman, who said, you think I have Ruach HaKodesh? Not only that, he says, you know, I'll be honest with you. He said, if I really thought this worked, why would there be any agunas ever? The husband goes missing, bring me a chumash, bum, 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 he's dead. Or bum, 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 he's over there. He said, the fact that we have a concept like aguna, that kind of undermines the idea, aguna meaning somebody whose husband's gone missing, right? That kind of undermines the whole thing, and Rav Steinman again took a pass on this. They went to a third rabbi who did it. And he was the one who came out with this statement. Now, they went to the third rabbi, and they said to him, you know, being that Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, you can't do it, why did you do it? He said, oh, I didn't know he said you can't do it. Sorry.
Never mind.
So now, yeah, of course, he was totally wrong.
Right,
right. He was totally wrong. Right. They were dead at the time when it happened. Buried. Whatever. The story was that the whole thing was way off. They weren't in Hebron. They weren't in a basement. They weren't alive. You know, whatever it was wrong.
That
yes.
Wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're down to 5%, my friend. Yeah.
It seems like this whole thing should be forbidden as sorcery.
Correct.
This is very akin to soothsayers and sorcery.
So you're saying this doesn't really work into your logical approach to Judaism? Is that what we're saying? Yeah, I think so. And again, if you remember from the halacha earlier, as a yekid, obviously this isn't ringing my bell either. You might have guessed.
Rabbi,
so, yes.
I think there was a story about Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Aaron Klum. I can't remember who it was.
Yes, there is a story. Correct. Nachum is right. That Rav Moshe Feinstein invited Rav Aaron Klum to come to America. And Rav Aaron Cutler couldn't decide whether he should come to America or he should go to Israel.
Right.
And he did a Goral Hagra, and with his Goral Hagra, he decided to go to America. Mm-hmm. Right. That's another one of the many stories out there about the Goral Hagra. So the question is, as several people have raised, you know, this really doesn't seem to be the Judaism that we're used to. So, are there sources for this? Is this something that we support, don't support, etc.? So, we start with a medrash. Okay, good. Number 8, the Psikta in the Bereshit says, Amr David. David says, Kishay Yisi Mevakesh Lito Eitza Batorah. Lito Eitza Batorah Yisi Mabit Vinotel Eitza. Whenever I need to come up with I need advice, I look at the Torah to give me advice. Shinema bi pikudecha asicha va'abita archosecha. Va'omer bi pikud...
Who was speaking?
David. David. Correct.
Who wrote Sefer Tehillim.
Right, well, this is him saying it.
This is him saying it.
We're giving shot in the pasuk. Right? That's where he's not quoting himself. If that's your question. Right? He's just giving shot in the pasuk. Va'omer, and again... Same David HaMelech, b'pikolecha es bonein. Amar ben chotim im b'ikshe livnos, v'eino at yodeh hech li'afriach habeit b'torah v'at romein. You want to build something, you don't know how to do it, look at the Torah. Everything's in the Torah. Right? Everything's in the Torah. As we say, in avos hafach ba v'hachach ba v'kulah ba. If you dig enough, everything's in the Torah. So that is the idea behind this, right? The idea is that all the secrets of the world are someplace hidden in the Torah. I'm not talking about the Torah codes here, but whatever it is, somehow or another you can get it out of the Torah. Now, the problem is, of course, as everybody has said, pretty much, it kind of goes against some psukim in the Torah. As it says in Parsha Shoftim, number 9, Lo yimotze b'cha, mavir b'no ubito ba'esh, kosim k'samim ma'onim, menachish, mechashif, v'chol v'chover, v'shol ovi yidoni, v'dorish shalom meisim. You should not do any type of sorcery, of wizardry, incantations, because this isn't what the nations did before you, and because they did this, they got thrown out. Don't waste your time with any of this. Just be perfect. Whatever comes, comes. That does seem to be very much against what we have here. To be more specific, if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos doesn't just give you a general. He goes right, quotes the Sifrei. Darash, the Sifrei Darash, number 10, this is very, all the way at the end of Shabbos. Minayin shein shomim begoralos. How do I know that I'm not allowed to use lots to see what is or what's going to be? Shenemar tamim tiyah. Begoral v'choze b'ksovim chadam ilsohi. Whether I'm using a lottery or I'm using astrology, it's all the same. It's all usher. That is the Sifrei quoted in Tosfos, and that same Sifrei is quoted lahalacha in the Beis Yosef.
So, assuming that the gra had something to do with the gra, he obviously knew that.
So again, that's an assumption that you shouldn't be making.
Okay.
Right, it's very unclear why it's called the Goral HaGra. We'll offer a suggestion at the end. Some of you have tried, but there is no indication in any of the Kisvei HaGras I know, which has the Gra in this at all. Right, there is no indication that the Gra ever did this. He never wrote in support of it. He didn't invent this. Why it's called the Goral HaGra, we'll have to see.
But Moshe Feinstein did use it.
No, Rav Yaakov. It was Rav Aaron Kotler, right? Right. He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Arya Levine's a good guy also.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Don't get me wrong. Right? So, good. That is correct. It was Vayetze? Or Vayered? I thought it was
one of those.
Right. I think so. Right. So, that's how the story goes. So, the Beis Yosef quotes it again. Right? Same Sifrei. He quotes it from Tosfos. He says, "Minayin shein sholim begoralos." How do I know you're not allowed to do this? Shenemar tamim tiyah. Same idea. Now, I should point out that even though this Sifrei is quoted by the Beis Yosef and the Sifrei is quoted by the Tosfos, you should note that it doesn't exist. That in our version of the Sifrei, there is no such line. So that somehow lowers the import of this quote. But, right? So Tosfos had it from someplace, and the Beis Yosef is just quoting Tosfos. So, even though that if this would seem to be pretty much on target, directly discussing what we're talking about, one has to minimize the import in light of the fact that it doesn't actually exist. So, what's going on here? Everyone has asked very good questions, right? We heard yes.
So is Purim not a Hebrew word?
Purim?
No,
which means
it's a lot in Persian.
Right.
He built poor.
Who drew the lots?
Haman.
Right. So
yeah,
Haman. Right. So, so I'm not going to get up here and say no. Rav Aaron Kotler did it. Rav Aryeh Levin did it. Haman did it. Allah the God of grace and tzaddikim.
Just goes to the word.
What?
The word.
So again, we call it a Goral, as it says in the Megillah. He peel pearl. Hu ha Goral. It translates it for us.
Got it. So, right? So where is the word Purim?
I don't know, but that does seem to be off topic, so we're going to go back.
Oh, sorry. I meant to ask it earlier.
Okay. Senior moment, that's fine. So
there's no good time for that question.
Senior days. I'm so senior, I don't even know how long I've had it for.
Go
calling it senior.
So the question is, okay, even without the Sifrei, let's put the Sifrei aside. Obviously, again, there's stories of the Chafetz Chaim, the Koisenberger Rebbe. There's no shortage of stories of people who did the Goral HaGra. The Gra happens to not be one of the people that we have a story from, right? But the question is, they were all Orthodox Jews. They were all aware of the Psukim. How were they allowed to do it? So there are two Gemaras which seem to point in the direction of something similar. The first Gemara is a Gemara in Gittin, number 12. It's an interesting story. I'll say it outside. The story goes that there was a fellow Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes was blind. And Rav Sheshes went to visit the Reish Galusa one time, and he announced that he doesn't trust the kashrus in the Reish Galusa's house. Why not? The Reish Galusa was a little taken aback. He said, well, the reason is because your workers here, they're not makbid on kosher. He said, what do you mean? So they said, I'll prove it to you. So he says to them, bring me out an animal you just butchered. So as they brought it out, he took one of the legs and hit it. So he examines it. He was blind, not sure he did it. And he says, there's only three legs. Bring me the fourth leg. So they run off and they get a leg from another animal. They bring it in. With that, he reaches under the table. He says, an animal with five legs. Where did you get that from? I mean, they're not trustworthy. So he does this. He does another thing. Finally, the kitchen help decided we've had enough of Rav Sheshes. They dug a pit. They put a rug over it, like they always do on TV. And they figured he's going to walk in, fall, and he'll be done with it. So as he was walking, Rav Chisda was there. And Rav Chisda cleared his throat.
Watch out for that rug.
Right? He said, big pit. So,
not that careful.
So, I'm sorry. Have a drink. So what happened was, at that point, Rav Sheshes stopped the kid and said, tell me, what pasuk did you learn today in Cheder? Some of they call the Cheder in Babylon. So he said, Netelecha al yemincha o al smolcha. It said, turn to your right or turn to your left. With that, he turned to the guy walking and said, what's in front of me? He said, well, there's a rug. He said, what's under the rug? Son of a gun. So they said, how did you know that? So he said, well, you cleared your throat. That's one tip I had. I didn't trust them. And also, there's a concept that you ask the kid a pasuk, and whatever pasuk comes up, right, that means something. A similar story is told in Chulin, right? Just to give it, just without going to the ins and outs of it, the story involves the fact that Rav Yonason was trying to figure out how Shmuel was doing. He stops the kid and he said, "Psok li psukech, tell me what pasuk you learned today in yeshiva." And the pasuk happens to be Ushmuel Mace. So he took that to mean, let's see, what could that possibly mean?
Let's see now. What are the options?
That's not a good...
Shema mina nach nafshi the Shmuel v'lohi. He said, see, I see that Shmuel died. It happens to be the Gemara says that Shmuel actually wasn't dead. But God didn't want Rav Yonason to bother going to travel. So there is this concept of psukri psukeich. That again, there is a way to use the Chumash, not necessarily through the way we're saying, but to get a pasuk, and that pasuk somehow is indicative of the future, and that was used in the times of the Gemara. One more case, this one's actually a medrash, but it's probably better known than the other ones. It's back to our two favorite people from today, Mordechai and Haman. This we'll do inside because it's a good story.
Relevant.
It's getting there. So it says, B'shashin is chatnu osan ha'igaros nasno b'yad Haman. So when after the letters were sealed to wipe out the Jews, Haman had the letters. Vayavo sameach uvacho b'nei chavaroso. And boy, was he happy. And guess who he ran into? Upago b'mordechai, shuleich v'neim. They ran into Mordechai. V'ram Mordechai shlosha tinokr shuyubami be'sefer ras Mordechai achreim. So he saw three kids that were coming out of yeshiva, and he went after them. Kishara Haman v'cho chavaroso shahir ha'yir ras Mordechai achre tinokos hochu achre Mordechai redas ma yishal Mordechai lahem. They were curious. What's he doing running after these school kids? What's he going to ask them?
This is Haman running after
and his buddies. Kevin Shehigia Mordechai to Tinoko Shora Echemem Psuchi Psukech. Says, tell me, what did you learn today? Amoy Altira mi Pachad Pito Mumishoras Rishom Rikisavo. Says, don't you worry about things that scare you and what the evil people have in the store for you. Pasach Hasheni Vom, you know what I learned? Ani Karisa Hayayom Uvezea Pasach Amati Bebe Sefer. Utsu Eitza Vituvar Davu Davu Velo Yakum Ki Imanu Kel. They're going to come up with ideas against us, and it's not going to happen because God's on our side. Pasach Shishi Vomer Vaad Zikna Anihu Vaad Seva Ani Esbo. Ani Asisi Vani Esa Vani Esbo Vimaret. Where do these three psukim come from?
After
when don't we say them? Right after Elena.
Right after
Elena. Right, I think according to the Minhag book, we don't say it. But for whatever reason, they publish it there. Kevin Shishama Mordechai Kach Sachak V'Haya Sameach Simcha Gedola. Boy, was Mordechai happy. I'm a Rohaban. A Mahi. Tasimcha Shesamata V'Divrei Tinokos Halolu. He said, oh, why are you so excited about what these three kids told you? Amar al besuros tova shebesruni shelo efkol min ha'etsa harashi al sudi aleinu. He said, I just found out that I got nothing to worry about.
I would worry about the fact that these three kids in the same class were learning all different things.
I'm just impressed that these kids are learning Mishlei. What are they learning? Unbelievable.
They didn't have Mishlei back then.
What?
They didn't have Mishlei Gemara back then.
Right, right. Also, they were probably with girls. So, So we have this idea, we have sources which indicate that it is okay to somehow use the Chumash for the benefit of foretelling the future. Not necessarily by opening it, but by getting your Pesukim a different way. Let's go to the Rambam. We want to know what the Rambam wanted to say. So he says, Misha Amar Dirazu Shabanisi Simon Tova Yisalai. The guy says, you know, I just built a new house, things are good. Isha Zosha Nisati and Behema Zosha Kanisi. Interesting how we put those together. Which is which?
Can you translate that? I didn't get it.
This
one.
All right. Haisim Ish Kinasa Asharti. From the time I did this, I got rich. Vechein Ashoa Latinok. And similarly, if someone asks again, Eze Pasuk Atalomid. And then if I find out, ooh, he just learned a good pasuk. This is all allowed. He's saying that it's not a matter that he's doing anything different. He's just saying that, oh, things turned good from that point. You know, from the time that we started Gleyber Torres, you know, we've been playing so well. Gleyber Torres is going to Simen Tova, right? That would be it, right? It's not that. Oh, now that no, that they, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says this idea psukli psukha. It's not so bad. Now, what would he say about this thing? Now, what we're doing is a little different, right? Let's go back to Rav Aaron Cutler. It's not that Rav Aaron Cutler looked at the pasuk and says, you know, oh, things have been going good. But rather, he's making a decision going forward. That arguably would be problematic, even according to the Rambam. So interestingly, the Rambam has a tshuva about the Garal Hagra. He didn't call it the Garal Hagra, but he gets one of the tshuvas of Rambam is as follows. She'eila v'yareinu. So this is what someone writes in. Misha poseach b'sefer Torah. Someone opens a sefer Torah. So in the footnote comments, Yosef Medir b'chumashim. He's not actually opening a scroll, he's opening a chumash. Aldera Chagoro. Like you do with a lottery. Imze Motar Umlav. Are you allowed to do that or not? Particularly, B'yichun me'achash oso ishriyat zibur. There is a guy who davens for the Amid by us who does this. V'ubol goyim v'arelim, ratzalomim, muslamim v'notrim. He goes to the Muslims and the Christians. He, in fact, is collecting money by going to the non-Jews and telling them what stocks to buy based on his gorelos. And this guy actually is the Shliach Tzibur. It's hard to imagine that Kuttner's been doing this. And, in fact, it works sometimes. Is he allowed to do this? Ve'ein alav v'zeh busha. Ve'ein atibra alav taromes v'lo chil Hashem. Is this maybe something that we should avoid? Ve'im yoser b'gral zeh mimenu yavim lav. And should we fire him as the chazan because he's been doing this? That's the question the Rambam got.
So his job's on the line.
Answer, tshuva, monim asom yirasos kachagoyim. He shouldn't be doing this. Refisha b'zeh chilol. This cheapens the Torah. Right, this is what it's a parlor trick. But you don't have to punish him over it. I don't think it's a good idea, but I can't get too worked up about it.
Not nice. Any significance to the fact that in the Shiloh it says Goyim v'notzrim, and in the Tshuva it says only Goyim?
So again, it doesn't say, it says Goyim and Arelim.
Goyim and Arelim, so it refers to same
question. Right. As they would say, yes, to Ural. So right, I think it's just a synonym.
Well, not because Muslimim are not Arelim.
Right, right. So that's why it says, I don't think. Again, I think for Yehudim, the answer would be the same. So that's...
And so we're not going to tell him to stop doing it?
Right, so the Rambam, we're not going to fire him over it.
I understand we're not going to punish him for it.
He says it's inappropriate. He's not excited about it.
That makes sense.
So what's the story here? So let's go to the Shulchan Aruch we did this week. So the first halacha we did, in sholem b'chozim b'kolavim v'lo b'goralos. Off the bat, what do we say? In halacha aleph, that's teasing pretty early. But then in halacha dalet, he says as follows. Bias, tinok v'isha, af al pisha ein nichus yesh simon. So what's bias, tinok v'isha? So that's referring back to what the Rambam said. Ever since I bought a house, ever since I had a child, ever since I got married, ever since Bessie came into my life, the cow, right? Things have been good. That's okay, because you don't take that. That's just a simon. The Ramah comments, Hagah, he says, V'im etzliach achar gimel pamim alo. Doesn't matter. V'chein mut aloma latinok psukri psukech. He writes out, you're allowed to do this. What does the Shach say? Mashma das harava poskim. If you lasos maisa, v'lismo cholavo asid al posuk mutter de chashiv ktsas nevua. The Shach says, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch. I can even, it's not just a matter like what happened previously, I can say, oh, it's because of that. I can even go forward. So I'll tell you an interesting story. There's when we were out in Boston a few years back, I spoke in the house of Joe Jacobson. Joseph Jacobson has a lab in MIT, and his lab invented e-ink. E-ink is the technology which was used on the early Kindles. It's a very fascinating technology. And he himself is a very learned fellow. He spends several hours, my understanding is, he gets up in the morning, he opens up his lab, and then he goes to learns in Kolo for a few hours before he goes back. So we were talking, we're seeing as we started Shalosh Shudis, and he said to me, you know, he's thinking about making the Aliyah. You know, he can't, him, his wife, are talking about it, the kids. So he told me the following story. He said, no, I don't remember, my niece, my nephew was over. I figured I'm going to try this. So I said to him, or her, I don't remember, what pasuk did you learn today? And the kid said,
well, a die's cast.
He told me that this actually happened to him. So the idea being based on the Shach thinks that that's fine. So the idea being that this idea of Goral Hagra is only a different form of Psukri Psukeh. Find me a Pasuk that is relevant. The Chidah in his Shiarei Bracha really puts it together. The Chidah says, "Kosa Marikash, Niri Dechule Amma Mutter Liftoch B'Tor Liros HaPasuk Ha'Ola." He quotes that according to the Marikash, everyone holds you're allowed to open up a Chumash and find the Pasuk and go based on that. Ki hi chayenu, because we do everything based on the Chumash.
Kamoshim, find the Pasuk, you mean close your eyes, put a pin in it or something?
That's not nice.
Or, you know, point to it.
Right, again.
Is that select the pasuk you like?
No. I don't think so. I think what he's referring to is what they do. Again, I don't know if you open it one time, you open it. I don't know the ground rules. Again, if you look at what?
Randomized.
If you look at it, Tzaddik in our time, the Tzaddik in our time gives one of the more specific explanations as to how it was done. And he goes on. He says, "Vahine Amr b'Yalkut Mishlei in Bakashta Lital Eitzim Etara Havi Notel V'Chein David." So he quotes what we have from David HaMelech. Now here's where this is interesting. "V'Matzati Ksaviad LaRav Marino Rav Eliyahu HaKohen Shekasev Zal Ki Balti Me'Rabosek Shayu Rotzim Lasos Eze David Hayu Mesupakim Im Lasos Im Lav." So this Rabbi Eliyahu HaKohen says that in the event that when I had when they had something that they didn't know what to do, hayu notrim chumish o arba v'asrim, they need to take a chumish or the 24. What's the 24? Tanakh. Hayu poschim o sovero and berosh hadaf ma pasuk hayamotzi. They would open it up and they'd find what pasuk was on the top. Ukafi masha mara hayu osim, and they would work based on that. That really sounds like this. He thinks that is fine. So that's what he sourced for this. Yeah, for some reason or another, this doesn't fall into Tamim Teyah, that's fine. Now, what I want to point out is the name of the person who seems to have introduced this. And that person's name was? What?
You're talking about the Gra?
No, I'm talking about the person who we just read, number 19. Oh,
sorry.
So if you look, three lines down, it says, Harav Eliyahu. Many people believe that somebody read this and got their Eliyahus confused. And that's how. And that's
mean?
What.
Who did they mean?
Right. What he means is the fellow who wrote the Sefer Shevet Musar. What they thought it meant was the Gra. That was the that we heard from Rabbeinu Eliyahu. That's how it got to be called the Goral HaGra. Even though the Gra had nothing to do with it, it's a confusion that this person who was quoted by the Chida, some other Rabbeinu Eliyahu, he is the one who introduced this idea.
How. Chida gave us a little bit more of a specific direction.
He is very.
Look at the top pasuk. Mm-hmm. So I want to know now: should I buy AT&T or GE? I hope not. Should I buy Davar Hashem or Moshe anymore? Get the off. What I mean? Right. What are the chances of finding something that have nothing to do with what you're wondering about?
Yes. Again. So so the idea is that this isn't random. That somehow, right? That's why the idea is that somehow there is some, you have to be on a certain level and what they say, and that will lead it to you. This isn't a matter of throwing darts. That obviously that this is a shtickel nevuah, and that's what with the people who support this, that's what they believe. So that's the idea behind it, that those who support the Goralos, it's based on this Chida, who explains that, well, we know from this week's parsha that the concept of using lots to make decisions, that goes back a very long way, right? And there is a certain amount of the Holy Spirit that is imbued upon it. Is that relevant nowadays? So Chaim Kanievsky thinks no, right? Leif Diamond thought no, etc. But is it an aveira? So again, you have sources here which say it doesn't. Again, we had sources that say the other way, right? Remember the Sifrei. Sifrei doesn't actually exist, but Tosus had it. Tosus is a somebody. The Beis Yosef thought it worth quoting. So again, it's not that there's no problem whatsoever, but the idea that there are people who are lenient, it's based on this idea.
So are we going to have pots again when
Mashiach comes? When the Mashiach comes, hopefully we won't need it. Hopefully we'll have a more direct line. But when we have to decide what to order for dinner next Thursday night.
So Rabbi, so right. When they went into Israel,
yeah.
And they